Imagine this scene. It's late February 2026. We are standing right in the heart of Silicon Valley.
Right.
And the weather outside. It's that typical Northern California gray.
Yeah.
You know, non-committal, a bit gloomy.
Yeah, but step inside the conference halls where all these tech giants are gathering. And the atmosphere isn't just gloomy. It's heavy.
It's dark.
Exactly. It's the kind of tension you can physically feel. I mean, it's the feeling of a room full of very smart, very rich people realizing that the world they knew yesterday simply doesn't exist anymore.
I think that's the best way to put it. Because we are talking about the release of the State of Video Gaming 2026 report. And this is by the Video Game Data Mining Consortium.
Right.
Now, you know we have covered tech reports on this deep dive before, but this one is completely different. For decades, the video game industry was basically the golden goose.
Oh, absolutely. It was the cash machine.
You make a game, you sell it, you buy a summer home.
Simple as that. I mean, it was a $300 billion industry that seemed to only know one direction, which was up. But this report, it's 300 pages of red and green numbers that are screaming one thing.
That the tectonic plates have shifted.
Violently. Yeah. And shifted is putting it politely, to be honest. Economically speaking, this is a violent realignment.
And that is exactly what we are unpacking for you today. We've gone through a really comprehensive analysis of this report by the research department at Teak and Game.
Specifically, the work of their analyst, Majid Ghorbani-Najjad.
Yes. They have dissected these numbers to show us a new reality that, honestly, I am still wrapping my head around.
The mission for this deep dive is crucial. Look, whether you are an investor looking at your tech portfolio and maybe sweating a little bit.
Which a lot of people are.
Right. Or a gamer wondering why your favorite franchise just got canceled. Or just someone fascinated by the business of entertainment. You need to understand this. Because buying a ninth generation console in 2026.
Yeah.
The report suggests that might not be the investment you think it is.
So we have three massive pillars to get through today to make sense of all this chaos. First, we're going to look at what the report calls the suicide mission of Western AAA budgets.
We're going to break down why the math just simply doesn't work anymore.
Second, we're going to talk about the death, the actual final death of the console war.
That whole Xbox versus PlayStation tribalism, it's over.
It's completely done. And third, and perhaps most surprisingly, we're going to look east. We're talking about the rise of Chinese gaming efficiency and the indie revolution.
Yeah, that third part is going to shock some people.
Definitely. So let's start with the big guys, the giants. You know, EA, Ubisoft, Take-Two.
Mm-hmm.
For the last 20 years, they had this golden formula.
It was almost boring how well it worked.
It really was.
It was a factory model, totally predictable. You spend millions on marketing. You push the graphics until they look like real life.
Photorealistic, 4K. Every single pore on the character's face is visible.
Exactly. You sell the box for $60 and you make hundreds of millions in profit.
It was the Field of Dreams strategy, right? If you build it and it looks expensive, they will come.
But according to that taking game analysis, that factory is currently on fire. The fundamental economics have entirely collapsed.
Let's dig into that. Why? What actually changed in the math?
Well, let's look at the 2026 numbers they presented in the report. It's really a combination of two things. First, the sheer complexity of modern engines.
Like Unreal Engine 5.
Right, which is the standard framework for building these worlds now. And second, the labor market.
Because Unreal Engine 5 isn't something you just tinker with on a weekend in your garage.
No, not at all. To run these engines at a AAA level, you need senior engineers. You need specialists in lighting, in physics, netcode.
And senior engineers in tech hubs like California or London or Montreal, they demand massive salaries.
Huge. We're talking specialized talent wars. And this has pushed the absolute minimum cost for a AAA game to a staggering level.
Give us the number. What does it cost to just show up to the party?
$300 million.
Wow.
And that is just to make the game. That's development costs. The coding, the art, the sound.
Catering for the office.
Yeah. Catering, electricity. That doesn't include putting it on a single billboard or buying a YouTube ad.
Okay, let's just pause on that for a second. $300 million just to get the code written. But you can't sell a secret, right? You have to tell the world it actually exists.
Right. So you add the marketing spend. In 2026, for a global launch, the report pegs that at another $150 million.
So before you have sold a single copy, before a single player has even pressed start on their controller, you are in the hole for $450 million.
$500 million.
That is terrifying. I mean, that's not a budget. That's the GDP of a small island nation.
It's an enormous risk. And here is where the math gets genuinely brutal. To just break even.
Just to get to zero.
Exactly. To just get that money back and not have to fire everyone on Monday morning, the game has to sell between 10 to 12 million copies.
And that is at the new standard price of $80.
Right. 12 million copies just to survive.
There are entire franchises, famous ones, games people absolutely love, that don't sell 12 million copies in their entire lifetime.
Precisely. This is why the industry feels so tense right now. And this creates what the report calls the 75 Metacritic danger zone.
I found this part so fascinating. So for you listening, if you don't follow the industry scores closely, Metacritic is the site that aggregates all the review scores into one number out of 100.
Yeah.
It used to be that if you got a 75, you pop champagne.
A 75 meant it was a good game. You kept your job. The studio stayed open to make another one.
Now.
In 2026, good is a death sentence. If a project costs nearly $500 million, it cannot just be good.
It has to be a cultural phenomenon.
It has to be Grand Theft Auto 6. It has to be Elden Ring.
Yeah.
If it lands a 75 Metacritic score, meaning it's decent, it's playable, but it's not life-changing, established studios face immediate bankruptcy.
Immediate.
We're talking about mass layoffs within a week of launch.
That explains the fear we're seeing. It completely explains why every game feels like it's trying to be everything to everyone.
It paralyzes creativity. The report highlights this concept of creative stagnation. Publishers are like whales trapped in a whirlpool right now.
They can't afford to take a risk on a new idea, a new intellectual property.
Because if a new idea fails, the company literally dies. So instead, what do?
They churn out the safe bet. The seventh sequel, the eighth installment, the tenth remake of a game we already bought 5 years ago.
It's survival mode disguised as business strategy. But here's the thing. This financial pressure isn't just changing the games themselves. It's changing the hardware landscape, too. We used to have these fierce console wars. You remember those?
Oh, absolutely. I'm an Xbox guy. I'm a PlayStation guy.
Right.
It was like sports teams. You picked a side and you just hated the other guys.
Well, the report is very clear on this. The console war is dead. And it wasn't a peace treaty that ended it. It was math.
The report mentions something called the absolute saturation point. Can you break that down for us?
Sure. So for years, the primary goal was to sell more boxes. But the data shows that the hardcore user base for consoles, the people willing to spend $500 or $600 on a piece of plastic under their TV, has capped.
It's hit a ceiling.
It's hovering around 100 million active users globally. It's just not growing significantly anymore.
So let's go back to that math we just did.
Right.
If I spend $350 million or $450 million making a Sony first-party game,
you cannot afford to sell it to only PlayStation owners. The math simply doesn't work. The install base isn't big enough to support the budget.
You need every customer you can get.
Exclusivity, which used to be the main weapon to sell consoles, right? Like,
yeah.
You have to buy a PlayStation to play Spider-Man. That is now a financial liability.
This perfectly explains the great migration the report talks about.
Exactly. We are seeing Microsoft porting their massive projects over to the Sony ecosystem. We are seeing Sony confirming that their flagship titles will hit PC and even rival platforms on day one.
They aren't holding back anymore.
No, they can't afford to.
It's a total paradigm shift. The box under your TV doesn't matter anymore. It's just a conduit.
Hardware is no longer the competitive advantage. According to the Taken Game Analysis, the new gods of Wall Street are software and cloud streaming.
They don't care where you play, as long as you pay for the software.
They want the subscription revenue. They do not care about the hardware margin.
So the West's struggling with bloated budgets, total risk aversion, and market saturation. It sounds incredibly grim.
Very grim.
But the report shifts gears dramatically right here. It points to the East, and it says something that might have sounded crazy just 5 years ago. The dragon has risen, and it's eating the market.
This is the most critical part of the report. Prior to 2023, if you asked a Western gamer about China, what would they say?
They'd probably say, oh, they make mobile games, they make gacha games, it's all microtransactions and phone screens.
Right. It was seen as a huge revenue market, definitely, but not a serious developer of artistic AAA titles.
But that perception is completely gone now.
The turning point, the historic moment cited in the report, was the success of Black Myth: Wukong.
Oh, yeah.
That was a moment the dam broke. It proved that Chinese studios could deliver world-class single-player experiences that rivaled absolutely anything coming out of California or Paris.
But it's not just that they can make good games. It's how they are making them. The report describes an efficiency gap that, honestly, it blew my mind.
It really is staggering. Let's look at the comparison provided by the Teking Game Hardware Department. Take a standard Western studio, say, in Seattle.
Okay.
Imagine the office. To create the assets for a massive open world off, the millions of trees, the rocks, the detailed buildings, the rust on the cars, you might need 400 artists.
And those artists are earning Seattle salary.
Exactly. $200,000 a year, maybe more, plus benefits, stock options, the whole package. And it takes them 3 years of manual labor to build that world brick by brick. It's artisanal.
Now, compare that to a Class A studio in Beijing or Hangzhou.
They aren't just throwing bodies at the problem. That's the lazy assumption people make, that it's just cheaper labor.
Right.
It's not. They are using a mix of engineers and generative AI integrated directly into the pipeline.
Generative AI. This is the key differentiator here. It's not just a buzzword for them.
It's fully integrated. They are using machine learning models to generate textures, to handle global lighting, even to do complex physics animations.
And they're doing it in weeks, not years.
Yes. The AI does the grunt work, the trees, the rocks, the background textures, and the humans focus on the art direction and the final polish.
The numbers here are just stark. The report says a 50-person Chinese team can do in 2 years what a 400-person American team takes 5 years to do.
Think about that for a second. 50 people versus 400, 2 years versus five. And look at the budget difference. The Chinese team is doing it for under $50 million.
While the American team is burning $300 million to achieve the exact same visual fidelity.
That is a competitive advantage that you can't just market your way out of. That's structural.
And the quality isn't suffering. That's the kicker. They are producing AAA quality high fidelity visuals without the infamous crunch culture that plagues the West.
Because they are automating the repetitive tasks that burn people out?
The report notes that 35% of all AAA games currently in development globally are now coming from studios in Beijing, Shanghai, and Hangzhou.
35%. That is a massive slice of the pie compared to 10 years ago.
It's a total shift in the center of gravity. The West is still building games like they are artisanal cathedrals, laying every brick by hand at great cost, while China is building them with modern industrial efficiency.
But there is another front in this war. It's not just China versus the West. It's also David versus Goliath, the indie revolution.
This connects right back to the financial crisis we started with. If you are a gamer and you have been burned by paying $80 for a AAA game that is full of bugs on launch.
Which happens all the time.
All the time. And then immediately it asks you for another $20 for a character skin or a battle pass.
Right. You become cynical. The trust is entirely broken. The report analyzes data from Steam sales, the biggest PC marketplace in late 2025 and early 2026. And the market is being driven by small teams.
We are talking 3 to 5 people.
Working out of a garage or a Discord server.
These are the Davids, and they are taking down Goliaths.
We're seeing low-poly games, simple graphics, games that don't look real but are fundamentally fun. They are outselling franchises like Call of Duty in their opening weeks.
This has to be a generational thing, right? The report talks a lot about Gen Z.
It is. The report highlights Gen Z specifically. Look, this is a generation raised on TikTok, raised on short-form content and authenticity.
They are not impressed by a cinematic trailer that cost $10 million to make.
They know it's marketing fluff. They don't care about expensive motion capture.
So what do they actually want? If they don't want the movie experience, what are they looking for?
They want innovative gameplay loops. They want smooth co-op so they can play with friends without technical hassles. And they want sandbox freedom.
The ability to create or destroy within the game.
They want agency.
It's the difference between watching a movie and playing in a sandbox.
Exactly. And look at the value proposition for you as a consumer. On one hand, you have the AAA model. Pay $80, deal with huge downloads, bugs, and microtransactions.
And on the other hand, the indie model.
Pay $15. Get a pure, fun experience. Maybe it's a co-op horror game. Maybe it's a creature collector like Pal World.
It's a no-brainer for a lot of people, especially when inflation is hitting hard. The report actually touches on the consumer reality of this. It's not just the companies hurting. It's the players.
Absolutely. The $80 price point is a massive barrier. The report details how players are using financial strategies just to survive.
It mentions using Steam wallet hacks, bundle deals, or gray market sites to increase their purchasing power.
There is even a mention of a specific code in the Teking Game analysis. Teking PC 2026 Master.
Yes, I saw that. Yeah. They cited that code as a prime example of these economic lifelines.
It was a promo code that gave users a 15% bonus on deposits. But the point isn't the code itself, but what it represents. Players are actively hunting for ways to beat the inflation that the industry has passed on to them.
They are hacking the economy of gaming just to afford the hobby.
And the money knows this. The big investment money is watching these players.
Right. Capital flight. Venture capitalists are moving billions away from those traditional centralized studios.
They are funding hundreds of smaller independent studios instead. They'd much rather make 100 small bets on creative indie teams than one giant risky bet on a bloated blockbuster.
So let's try to synthesize all of this. We have the Western giants collapsing under their own weight. We have China rising through efficiency and AI. We have indies winning hearts and minds with gameplay over graphics. What does the landscape look like when the dust settles?
It's Darwinian. That's the only word for it.
Yes.
The era of the 5-year Hollywood-style exclusive game is dead. It simply cannot survive in this economic climate.
So who wins? Who is left standing?
The future belongs to the fast and the efficient. The winners will be the studios that utilize AI automation to cut those ballooning costs and the platforms that are flexible enough to be everywhere at once.
And the losers are the ones holding onto the old maps.
The ones clinging to the idea that hardware defines the player or that throwing money at a bad idea will fix it. Those days are gone.
It's a fascinating, if somewhat terrifying, time to be watching this industry.
But
before we wrap up, I want to leave you with a thought that really stuck with me.
And this is something that strikes me when we look at that comparison between the 400 artists in Seattle and the AI in Beijing.
This is the new Cold War gaming. If China is winning by automating creativity, by having an algorithm paint the textures and light the scenes, and the West is failing because it clings to human-heavy artisanal budgets, What does that say about the future of art in video games?
That is the ultimate question. Is the soul of the game the next casualty? Or, if we are being honest, was that soul already lost in the budget meetings that set the price at $300 million?
Something to mull over the next time you pick up a controller or a keyboard or a cloud stream. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the gaming economy of 2026.
Until next time, keep questioning the game.
See you in the next one.